you start?
Mm-hmm.
Hi. What's up?
Not much. We're just hanging out. This is my friend with benefit.
This is mine.
One benefit.
What's the benefit?
Yeah, I'm curious.
Like, you pay for the utilities at our house. That's about it.
That's really all I have to offer.
That's not even a benefit.
You're right.
That's like 40 bucks.
This is actually, should we introduce them?
We should, yeah.
This is my husband, Ryan. And this is my fiance, Kellen.
Wow.
And way to pale in comparison.
I know. Well, we're
it's
2 months.
It's just like the next step.
You know what? What I was just thinking was, imagine telling 23-year-old us that we have a husband and a fiance.
I know. That's nuts.
And what's crazier is that we've been friends for a really long time.
I know.
So,
like, imagine an angel coming down to you guys on Warped Tour and being like, you guys are going to marry best friends.
We don't use that word in our house.
Angels?
Warped Tour.
Oh.
One word.
I don't know why I thought it was Warped, angels.
Angels. Warped Tour. One word. Yeah.
Welcome to So True Bestie.
Welcome to So True Bestie. If the studio seems a little crowded today, it's because we got men.
We have men.
We have some men here today.
Today's episode is about our partners.
We've got some twinks here today.
All right.
Wait, is it about us or is it featuring us?
It's featuring you guys.
Featuring.
But it also is about you guys.
Saying about us feels a little scary. Intimidating. Scarier than I thought.
Maybe. Are you guys watchers of the pod?
Avid. Long time, first time people on
beer?
The podcast.
First time beer, long time watcher.
Listeners.
Got it.
I'm an avid listener. Well, I'm not actually a watcher. I am a listener, though.
If you've seen the podcast, you know that we have ins and outs.
Yes.
That's Who true. Wants to go first?
You can go first.
Also, just I'm going to put it out there. If it's a little scary, Gabby and I can go first.
Yeah.
If you want to kind of like see how it's done.
I'm actually not. I'm not nervous. I'm not nervous at all.
Amazing.
He's not scared.
And kick it off. What's your in?
My in is spending your hard-earned money on just whatever you want. Whatever makes
know,
you feel good.
I know,
good.
Freya,
you know
Freya
what I'm
loves
saying?
That one.
Yeah, you're speaking my language.
I know.
Elaborate.
I mean, I just like, why? Like, obviously, you know, you save a little bit of money, but like, I don't feel like you should feel bad spending your money, not frivolously, but you know, on just a
what do you
thing
what do
you
spend you your
want.
Money on?
I like clothing. I like t-shirts. I like jackets. I like if I see something, I buy it.
I feel the same way. Listen, I'm a doll. This is my doll world, and I'm playing dress up.
You're
and
right.
That's really all that matters.
Yeah. Okay, I have a question.
Let me try. Oh yeah, Gabby, go
no,
first.
No, go please.
Let me try your in. What if Gabby came home with like a Princess Diana beanie baby and was like, I spent $15,000. I pulled out of my savings. This really was just the only thing in the world that was going to make me happy. We're destitute. You're like, yeah, that's in.
That would be tough for me to accept, but I think because I kind of gave her permission by saying this.
Yeah, you'd have a hypocritical
me.
In
it's on
if
me.
You said no.
Yeah.
Spend away,
you know,
Gabby.
Okay.
I'd be more surprised.
Me too. I don't. You're not really, you don't give Beanie Baby.
And you definitely don't give like Princess Di Beanie Baby.
Because you guys said that, I'm going to buy one now. I'm going to.
It could be anything, really. You know, maybe a plant. Maybe you buy like a rare plant.
Oh, I could see myself buy like an albino plant. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a lot of money.
Yeah.
I feel like I benefit from that though.
Are
that's
albino,
true.
Are albino plants like a thing?
Yes.
That are rare?
They're like white and they're in the rainforests of South America. What's your out?
My out is ovarian cysts.
Can I get a hell yeah?
What? You know what? We love an ally.
I'm not even saying that to gather points from the listeners.
That was the most white knight bullshit I've ever heard in my whole life.
No, you want to know why?
Do you respect it?
I'm just kidding.
You want to know why he's saying that? Is because I've been going through it. Yeah. Remember last episode when I said I thought I had an appendicitis?
Yep.
I actually have an ovarian cyst.
And that's why it's out.
I kind of thought you might.
Okay.
I don't know why. I just thought.
I just had a feeling.
But why are you anti them?
Because I see you in pain and it sucks.
That's
it makes
so
me feel
real.
Bad. I'm not even like, you know, that's my out.
You know what? I'm not even pissed at you anymore for being late today.
I appreciate that. Thank God.
You know what's so funny? The other day, Kellen and I went to couples therapy.
Yeah.
And I was like, I got to be honest, we had other things to talk about, but I'm just pissed that we're late. And she was like, that is the number one thing that couples come in here fighting about is the fact that they were late to couples therapy.
Should I go next?
Go next.
All right. My in is community. Because I think in America, there's not enough community. People don't have each other's backs. And sometimes you just need a friend. Sometimes you just need a friend to spend a day with. And I feel like people are very individualistic in America specifically.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
I just feel like where's the camaraderie? That's my end.
You need to edit the Star Spangled Banner behind.
I need a bald eagle.
It gets louder and louder.
Swooping in, sitting on your shoulder.
I am pretty American, if I'm being honest.
Okay, so I recently saw a TikTok, and it was just this little girl in Japan, I believe, just like walking around her neighborhood and just like popping into all the stores. And I was like, that is crazy. That that's just like chill for this like 4-year-old to be like waddling down the street into different like bodegas. And all the comments were like, yeah, that's like nobody's like worried. Like, you know what I mean?
Well, because they all look out for each other.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like a child of one is the child of a village.
Yeah. That's the kind of energy I want in America, but we will never have it.
It's like when Kellen and I talk about having kids, I'm always like, I'm just like not doing it without like professional help. And I get like side-eyed for that, especially by my family and stuff. That's ridiculous. And I feel like it's like back in the day, I mean like hundreds of years ago when we were like in tribes, it's like everybody took care of everyone.
But also not even just back in the day, in other countries, it's like that as well.
And in other countries, it's like having kids is less scary because everybody's like lending a hand. It's like not weird. Like the idea of some of our friends who have just had kids though, like reaching out and being like, hey, can you like watch the kid for a few hours is crazy. But I think we're not used to it though. You know what I mean? Like it's so much more common in other places.
Well, it's also why like I think a lot of people move back to be closer to their family.
Yeah.
You know, when they have kids.
Definitely.
Because it just makes it easier.
Yeah.
All right. My out is drinking.
Ooh.
I just don't see the need in drinking like a beer with a meal. Like, I don't know if this is alcoholic core of me, but if I'm drinking, I am trying to get drunk.
Interesting.
And I don't need like a Corona at dinner. That does nothing for me. I'd rather drink a lemonade. I am California sober though, so might negate what I just said.
I'm the opposite. I don't want to drink to get drunk. I think it's expensive and I don't like feeling drunk, but I love a glass of wine with dinner.
What does it do for you?
No, I just think it tastes good.
Yeah.
I just think it like adds to the meal.
Would you have a mocktail?
Yeah, I'd have a mocktail, but also I love a beer.
Yeah.
I like beer. Like, I love a cold, like, Sapporo with sushi hits.
Mm.
So I think it's like I don't like the feeling of being drunk, but I like the taste of certain alcohol versus I feel like you're probably the opposite.
Well, I don't even like the feeling of being drunk. I got drunk on accident like 2-3 weeks ago, and I was in pain the entire day.
How did you do that?
I just, like, I went, wee, and you I drank like, a bit more than
on
I should
accident?
Have.
On accident? Oh, yeah. I see. I thought you, like, sat on one of those little, like, vodka bottles and like
she accidentally gave herself a buzzball enema. That's what you thought happened.
Yeah, it went into your bloodstream and you're like, oh my god, I'm drunk.
Whoa, I'm drunk. I was just trying to say
Jackass or something.
That is no, crazy. But I accidentally, you know, when you're just having fun with friends and you're like, yeah, I'll drink another. And I just realized I was like too drunk and I didn't have a good time.
I have never, ever been drunk and been like, this is fun.
Yeah, it's just like the.
Sure have.
But I've never been drunk. It outweighs. Drunk, so I don't know.
Ever?
Never, no.
Wow.
Never drank alcohol.
He's never had a sip of alcohol.
I actually didn't know that. That's crazy.
I'm always ahead of the curve, dude.
All right, Raya, what's your in and what's your out?
So my in is rising like a phoenix from the flames.
Jesus Christ.
I love a comeback. I love an underdog. I love like having a week where I feel ugly and being like, you know what? I'm going to take the next month and I'm going to like buy some new pieces of clothes and I'm going to get facials and I'm going to really be on my skincare stuff and I'm going to use my side sleeper pillow. And in a month, we're all going to go out for some birthday and I'm going to emerge more beautiful than ever.
And someone's going to be like, wow, you look a little different.
Yeah. I love a makeover. I just love the one like positive of being at a low point is knowing that you can only go up. And it's kind of like a nice feeling. Like, it's kind of a nice feeling being, like, at a point where maybe you've, like, you know, drank too much that week or smoked too much or, like, eaten a lot of, like, fast food or, like, skipped your skincare. And then being, like, this week things change.
Yeah.
Like, I like that. I like, coming out of, like, a bad time knowing I'm going to, like, emerge better.
That's kind of how I feel about springtime. Like, this coming month, April, I'm feeling that way.
Maybe that's where it came from, because I'm feeling that way too. Like, I feel like I'm about to like really come in, you know what
I
mean?
Well, I feel like winter is hibernation mode, and then springtime you're like, I gotta get all my shit, so then in summertime I'm on it.
Yep. And I feel like we've been talking about that a lot. Like, we are going to be good at tanning, we're going to be good at our skincare, like
vitamins.
We're going to be on our vitamin like game, like, and it's just nice to know that like good things are coming.
Yeah.
How do you feel in the spring? What does spring do for you?
I feel stronger than ever.
Yeah. Oh, really? Do boys have the same experience?
I just feel like kind of grubby in winter because I just, I mean, I guess it's different now that we live in California. Like when I was living in Michigan and it was just cold for six months, I was just like, I'm not doing anything. I'm just living in my house and just kind of being a piece of shit.
Yep.
Now, you know, it doesn't really feel like that. But even still, I don't know. There's something about springtime, new feeling.
That first week where it's like there's not one cold day, you know, there's not one rainy day.
T-shirts only.
I am like, I'm a new person. I'm revived.
Yeah.
Mm. I don't know. I like layers.
Yeah.
I feel
you kind of strike me as a fall guy.
Yeah, don't mind fall and winter.
That's probably my favorite season. I think people started emerging in the spring and then like trying to do more stuff and trying to like pull you out of your home more. And I just get this like insatiable urge to kill.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely feel like people start hitting me up more when spring starts. And I'm like, I do love you, but come on, like go easy on me. Yeah. I was just hibernating.
I like the asks. I'm okay with just saying no.
I'm the same way.
I want more. I like that more people are hitting me up.
I still want the asks, but I just feel bad saying no.
I just think the winter fall is for just like braver, stronger people who are like, when I go to the grocery store, I only see the people who are willing to brave the weather, not necessarily here, but in general. And then spring is just any old joker can just show up at the grocery store with a smile on their face.
I feel like,
but I don't respect them.
You're in a really dark mood this episode so far.
I don't trust somebody whose favorite season is winter.
Oh, no, winter is crazy.
Winter's fall, nuts,
I guess, whatever, if you like leaves.
Fall is nice. You didn't grow up with a actual fall, but fall fucks. Yeah, but trust me.
Now at this point, though, I've traveled enough. It's like I've seen
fall.
And I'm still what's the big whoop?
Have you ever been to like a fall, like
Utah, brother.
Jamboree. No,
like, you know what I'm saying? Like
Utah.
Like a little get together where they got, you know, the elephant ears and they got the, you know, the rides.
We did
and
that way. Carnival?
Yeah, carnival. That's the word.
I thought summer was
get together.
I thought carnival was summer season. Was carnival, summer thing.
That's the word. A far stretch from a get together.
Well, it's a get together. I said bonfire.
Get together is like 10 people.
Well, it's a carnival is like 10,000.
Your get togethers had elephant ears? You Michigan's know, if, crazy.
Yeah, I had some rich friends.
I feel like what you're explaining to me is summer.
No, I mean,
like get-togethers, fun food,
there's
carnivals.
There's something different about like a fall, like in your beautiful downtown, your little like quaint downtown. You're going down there.
That
like,
is real.
Maybe flirt with a girl or two.
Gilmore Girls vibes.
No, this is back in the
you're
day.
Flirting with two girls like, at the same time.
Hey, Ryan, you want ice cream?
The Stevenson boys.
That'll be 10 cents.
All right, Kellen, what's your in and
wait, like, I haven't done my out.
Hers? Oh, yeah.
Okay.
All right, what's your out?
I'm still thinking of mine.
My out is feeling like you have to be boring after a certain age. I saw this TikTok recently and this girl was like, hey guys, like I need help, right? Like, you know, girls will do that. They'll put like a PSA. And this girl was like, I just turned 30. Like, how do I dress now? And I'm like, ugh. Why do you have to change? Why?
I'm going to be honest. I think that that's an outside of California thing.
Is it?
Yeah, because I feel like when you hit a specific age outside of California, I see this a lot with my hometown friends. Wait, acquaintances, because I don't really have hometown friends.
Right.
I feel like they hit that age and they're like, oh, I have to start not dressing cute when I go out.
And I saw this other girl's TikTok and she was like, things I did once I turned like a certain age. And it was like, I don't buy any new makeup now. Like, I don't experiment.
Ew.
I don't do this. I don't do that. And I'm like, God, that sounds so boring. And also at 30, like, are we that old? Like, 30 is so young to
also,
me still.
Also, like, why?
You're never wearing like eyeshadow again. And you're only wearing blazers. Like, it just made me sad that like, I've been seeing all these things that are like, so here's like good outfits for once you turn 30. I still want to dress cool and I still want to like be like trendy and like participate in like micro trends and like change up my like eyebrow shape. Like, I'm not done figuring out who I am and what I like.
That's why I like our Los Angeles bubble. I know that's kind of a crazy thing to say, but honestly, I would never live in Wisconsin again.
No, you're right. It's like, because I feel like if I walked around and I was figuring something out new with like my makeup or wearing something like super micro trendy, people would be like, why is that like anti wearing blue eyeshadow? But here it's like you can do that.
Yeah,
so that's my out.
I love that one.
I was gonna say, I actually feel like as I'm getting older, like when I hit 30 or, you know, I'm past that now, but I feel more confident in trying new things.
Me too.
Yeah, I have like a new sense of like confidence to,
and
like,
you should be allowed. Yes,
I feel the same way. I feel like, and that's why I think kind of got in my head. I was like, damn, am I like, I feel like I'm just coming into my own. And then same. I'm like, wait, but am I like late? Like, did I do it too late? Like, no. I feel like I got hot like 6 months ago. And I'm like, damn, like, is that waste? Is that a waste? Because I'm 30.
It's crazy that people think this way, because I think your 20s are about experimenting and being ugly and being like a piece of shit. And then your 30s are like you said, rising from the ashes.
Yep. You're so right.
Yeah. So fuck you if you think that.
Were you a piece of shit?
Yeah.
I had piece of shit moments.
I look back on some photos of me in my mid 20s when I thought that I was killing it, and I'm like, oh my God. Like, why didn't anybody say
you're
anything?
You're a self-aware king.
I was just frugal.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm just going to wear stuff.
Yeah, but you could be like, frugal.
I don't want to spend money on clothes.
You could be frugal, though, and not have worn some of the hats you did.
What?
I felt like for me, it was like my facial hair and like certain things like my hair and whatnot. Like, yeah, I never got it cut. I never shaped my beard. Like, I didn't know.
I'm going to give myself some flowers with what you just said. And I think that having a girlfriend who like cared about skincare really shaped you up.
You definitely upped my game 2000%.
Kellen, what's your in?
Yeah, what's your in?
My in is getting with the times.
Elaborate.
I was watching this video the other day. Some old guy. And he's like, people write such like dumb lyrics nowadays. And he pulled up some like Jack Harlow song.
Are you talking about Rick Beato?
Yeah, dude. And
I'm literally like, watched that video.
It's like, well, here, it's fine. Like, he has some good interviews and stuff. But I'm like, why do you, how old is he? Like 65? Who gives a shit? You can still like, it's not true. Like, there's still like tons of artists that are like, in this example.
He's also old.
Right? Like poetry lyrics. Or it's like, okay, dude, go hang out at like, I don't know where that guy hangs out. Some old place. That's
the Coffee
boring.
Bean. Go to the Coffee Bean.
Go to the Coffee Bean and listen to Coffee House music.
Yeah.
And like, it the still exists. Jazz band. Like, just because like Jack Harlow's charting or whatever. And like, because 15-year-olds like it. It's like,
yeah.
There's so much stuff to care about.
That's such hater energy.
Get with the times.
It's old head energy.
The times are a changing, as your old head guys would say.
Like, it's so weird. It's so weird us now all being like 30 something or whatever, and starting to notice like our peers say things where I'm like, oh, you sound like an old head. Yeah. like you sound like an old head. When people are like, oh my God, like these iPad kids, I'm like, oh my God, we sound like our parents did, making fun of the things that we did. It's crazy.
Yeah, but I will
say it's crazy that my nephew knew how to FaceTime me at 4.
It is, but that's just like, that's just a new generation.
I understand.
It's crazy,
but no kid should be doing that.
You sound like an old head.
I know.
See,
didn't even listen to what Kellen just said.
I know. I'm an old head and proud.
Maybe we're getting there.
Maybe I'm the person that's like, fuck Jack Harlow. Fuck his lyrics.
But like, you either just like,
no, you have to get with it.
Let it be in its lane. You don't even have to get with it. You just understand that like exists and you're cool with it. Like, there's some shit maybe you shouldn't be cool with, but in general, something really like arbitrary like this. Or you just become bitter and like unrelatable.
Yeah, I agree.
I fully agree with that. And I think a lot like, coming from like where we did like the music scene, I think there's a lot of that energy is just like, fuck this thing that like I don't like, but I'm like, you don't have to like it. Like, hella people like it.
Especially coming, and I apologize because I know you currently still play in a pop punk band, but like being in a pop punk band is like basically like being a child actor versus being like Daniel Day-Lewis, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, when I hear a 30-year-old, like a 30-year-old dude in a pop punk band have some like hard opinion about like something I'd consider like maybe more respectable music. Sure. Pop punk's supposed to be this fun, whatever, like fun in the sun vibes.
Yeah.
Jumping up and down with reckless abandon. Right. But you don't get to have an opinion on like, you know, 16-year-olds writing better music than you do.
Sure.
Or whatever.
Because we're writing the music for them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's your out?
My out? So this is my out, and you're not going to like it. I don't personally have TikTok, but vicariously, I hear a lot of TikTok through you.
Mm-hmm.
And my least favorite thing currently is when people have a bad customer service experience and then they make an entire video about it just to like strong arm some company into giving them a refund on their like $40 whatever. I've got a gripe with Sheena. Is that the place?
Sheena
from Vanderpump.
I have a gripe with Sheena,
but
from Vanderpump.
Send them an email. Don't go barging into social media.
Yeah.
Trying to grab our attention and bring us into it. Here's my demonstration of the correct video that this person should make and put online.
Okay.
If they're going to accost our time and try to rope us into something that none of us should give a shit about.
Why am I scared for this?
You're not. You shouldn't be.
Okay.
They should just be like, look, this company sent me, the Shein sent me a
Why are you saying Shein like this?
I don't
know.
It sounds like some internet company. That Shein? I don't know.
Shein.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. They sent me this, my $20 bloomers. There was a wrinkle in them. They said they won't refund them because I blew my nose into them. This company doesn't care about entitled losers like me. All hail Timothy McVeigh. I suck. Also, anyone who responds to this and cares to stand on my side against Shein should get a life and find things that are actually real injustice in the world and not my refund and return and exchange.
You're right.
End of story.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
And that would hit like...
I have mixed feelings on this. I feel like on one side, I completely agree with you. I think people are very entitled. I also made a video about this once, and the video was strictly about this one woman being like extremely entitled, and all of the comments were like, oh, so you're just a corporate bootlicker? Yeah, and I was like, insane. Actually, I don't care about the corporation at all. I'm just saying I feel like she's entitled. And they were like, no, you're a corporate bootlicker. Fuck you.
Half the time, it's not even a corporation. It's like a company up the street.
Yeah.
Like Jimbo's.
Yeah, like a mom and pop.
Nail salon. Like missed the spot. And they're like, Don't go to Jimbo's nail salon. Don't. Yeah.
Bro, fuck Jimbo.
People whose business might actually be affected negatively. Yeah.
That's all I ever see.
And then, but I will say the one thing is on the other side, I do think there's like validity in the fact that like a lot of these big corporations that don't care are now like forced to because there's like a little bit more like pressure from the public. And I do think there are situations that like normally wouldn't get resolved when the customer had a right and they're being sort of like taken advantage of by a corporation that's like, you're just a fucking drop in the pond. And now they have to because that drop has become like a pretty big ripple because they got 10,000 people behind them. You know, there's a good mix. There's a mix. I do think that there's validity to like taking things to social media in an effort to be heard in a situation where you wouldn't be heard otherwise and taken seriously. On the other hand, I think people take that too far and have become very, very sort of, like you said, like, what's the word?
Entitled.
Annoying.
Entitled. Yeah, entitled. So, you know, I think there's finding that balance is key. I feel like a lot of our podcast is like us wanting to be sort of like big sisters, right? Like we are 30, we've seen a lot, we're still learning, you know, but we're like, we're not like big sisters like 12 years older, but we're big sisters like 4 years older. Like we know a little more than you, but also
not too much.
Well, we still might hang out
and we still also are learning, and maybe we'll like change up our tune on some stuff. But one thing I actually feel like we've both kind of like gotten down is like relationships. Like we've both like learned a lot, we've had extremely different experiences, we've talked about dating on the episodes, people love to like ask us when we do Q&A's, half the questions are like that. So like why not talk to the other side of that?
All right, let's start with how long we've been together and how we met, just to give a little background.
Yeah, I want some background on you guys. I haven't heard the story in a long time. Take it away, Rye.
I want to see it from your POV.
Okay,
how long have we been together?
6.5 years, I guess, at this point.
Wow. How long have we been married?
We've been married almost a year.
Woo!
Been married in May. It's now March. So about 10 months. We met in LA. I was coming out here to work on some music, work on a record. So I was going to be here for a month. And the first night I got here, I went to a birthday party that I didn't really want to be at. But the rest of my band was already there and I couldn't check into the Airbnb. So okay. I was like, okay, I'm just going to go to this party. And
the person whose party it is watching like.
I wonder if they watched the episode. Who knows?
I think they're very busy.
I was sitting there talking to somebody in the kitchen. And I remember you coming over with like kind of a mutual friend of ours.
And I just came up to you. I think that I was just like, hey, what's up? I feel like you're going to be my boyfriend. And we spent the entire...
Well...
I knew. If I'm being completely honest, I knew. I think
say what you always say to me.
Say it.
Don't be embarrassed now that we're on camera.
It is a little embarrassing. It's like Los Angeles core. I feel like when I saw Ryan, it was like, oh. Like, it felt like... I don't know. I was supposed to meet you. I felt like you were somebody who was meant to be in my life. And I wasn't going to let the opportunity... of not meeting you pass by.
So you came up and you rizzed me a little bit. You charmed me.
Yeah, I got that charm.
But I remember like thinking, I actually really like this person. And I was like going to be in town for the next month. So I was trying to set up another hangout session.
Yeah, we just spent every...
A hangout session?
A hangout sesh? Like,
Day together.
Well, what did I feel like I remember being like just learning how to... Learning how? Just getting into smoking. weed.
Okay.
And I was like, yo, like, do you smoke? Like, let's do something sometime. Let's
smoke. Let's link up and smoke.
Well, not that.
No, I know what you mean. Smoke sesh? So you came over.
I remember the next night I came over and I remember smoking and being like, acting like I knew what I was doing, like hitting it like a champ. And I got so stoned and I knew how stoned I was. And I was like, there's no way this girl's ever going to like call me back. Never going to want to hang out with
me. And you know
ever.
What?
I was being weird.
I did.
Licking the walls.
He was like going like this on the couch. And I remember texting my roommate at the time, our roommate at the time. And I texted her and I was like, how do we get him to leave? Because I was just kind of over him at that point.
This is making me look great.
And then he just stayed the night. And then, I don't know, it just bloomed from there. It was kind of a rocky road.
I accidentally stayed the night, like on the couch.
Like, because you had to, because you were too high?
I was just like, I can't drive. Okay. Yeah.
How did you guys meet?
From being stoned?
Well, I just was like nervous. I was like, I don't know. I don't want
to
like.
Too nervous to drive?
Yeah, literally. I was like, I'm probably still.
I've never heard that.
I wouldn't have let you drive that night.
I was new.
You
I was
were
like.
Out.
Well played.
California weed too?
Yeah, I was in LA, you know? I was like.
Also, that wasn't LA, Cody. That was just very sweet.
You know, sometimes it's like, oh, okay, she just had an inkling. No, but I have always had an inkling. Had the same inkling with you, actually.
That's a tale as old as time. It's wonderful.
Thank you.
And sweet.
Thank you. Yeah.
I have a deep, deep, deep distrust of everyone when I first meet them. You're sus until proven not. So I have really almost never had a good feeling about anyone at the beginning.
How did you
not
feel
even
about,
me?
How did you feel about me when you met me?
Okay, so here's
for
the thing.
Gabby.
Gabby introduced me to kind of like band world, right? That like wasn't my, I rarely went to like live shows growing up. Like I wasn't really into like bands and stuff like that.
Yeah, it was
just like
scene.
It's less of like a Miami thing to like be into that, especially because like smaller bands don't really come to Miami. So like you're either going to like an arena show to see like Pitbull or you're like not really going to like live shows. So I think for me, I was like still learning about this like world. And I think I was a little distrusting because all I had was like the media version of band guys. Like I was like, band guys are going to break Gabby's heart. Mm-hmm. So I think I didn't trust you fully. Like I was still kind of like, who is this guy?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he's cool. Like, what's the vibe here?
But I'm such a person that like, I don't know if this is crazy, but I love like the feeling of anything. I love happiness. I love sadness. So I knew that if Ryan were to break my heart, at least I had the chance to like spend some time with Ryan. So I think I was like ready to have my heart broken because I do agree with you. I think that I thought that you were just gonna like up and leave, but I was down for that.
Aww.
Just to be able to like experience that experience.
That's so fucking live, laugh, love of you.
It really is.
And like in a really like is. A real way that's like
I know. And,
genuine.
And that's what I hate it's about like, me.
I just want to experience life no matter what comes.
I do. I really do, you guys. Living. All right, sweetie Bobities. How did you guys meet? And how long have you been together?
So we've been together now for like 3 years, which sounds crazy.
Wow.
But I was looking at a picture that I had taken of Callum when we first started the other day and it was in 2021. I was like, that's wild. But yeah, 3 years. I think we had been online friends for maybe even close to 3 years before that. So we've known each other for almost 6.
I have a distinct memory actually of Kellen DMing me because I knew Kellen off of Ryan.
Right.
And I remember him asking me who my friend was and it was you.
Yeah.
Kellen was a little bit of a well, it's actually funny because I always make the joke that Kellen was sort of like my reply guy. Like he was like, he was hitting me with like a lot of story responses. And
no, it works, huh?
It
no, well, here's it the thing. I had never been so compelled to do that before because I'm not like being like that was my first, I feel like, real step into being a reply guy.
Mm.
But I knew. I always tell you I knew.
Yeah.
You don't believe
you
me.
Were the me.
But being in a band is a red flag.
It's,
so I understand
right.
any
is.
Reluctance, but little did she know I was planning my exit strategy.
Right. Yeah.
And yes. So anyways, proceed.
I think it's funny because I always like say that he was the reply guy and he was, but actually like 6 months to a year before he like followed me and started like replying and like kind of like, you know, sliding, I had followed him on Instagram. I thought he was cute and I had seen him just like, you know, he came up, whatever. I just started kind of like
becoming friends with like you and your bandmates and stuff. So like he must have just like come up because of mutuals. And I think at the time he was dating someone. And so he like didn't follow me back. You know what I mean? And like I did the classic follow liked the last two pictures to see what would happen.
That is such a girl move.
Yeah. And he didn't follow back for like 3 or 4 days. And so I unfollowed. And then like 6 months later, I'm guessing like when they broke up, he was like here.
Respectful king.
Respectful king. But then at that time, I was distrustful of band guys. He's also like so handsome. But I didn't know at the time that he's one of those like handsome guys that doesn't like realize he's handsome. So in my head, I'm like, this guy like is a band guy who knows he's super hot, probably gets a ton of attention. Like I cannot trust this man as far as I can throw him. And so I just kind of totally ignored him. And then after like 2 years of him being a reply guy, I was
two years
is crazy. Literally,
brother.
It was 2 years.
It wasn't that it was. Active though.
You gotta make a move.
It was one of those things where he would like respond to something, I'd respond, we'd talk for like 4 or 5 messages, and then I'd like ghost. And then so then it became this like running joke that I was like a like always like not responding to him. Like he'd be like, oh, I don't expect a response at this point. He like, you know, knew.
You were playing hard to get.
I was playing super hard to get, but then I also started dating someone. And we dated for almost 2 years, and then I remember we broke up and I was like, oh, this guy would be a perfect first date because I know he has a crush on me. He's been sliding for 2 years.
I remember
years.
You telling me this.
And he's the perfect first person to kind of like get my toes back into dating because I already like know he has a crush on me. Like this is an
sometimes
easy...
the rebound goes in. Sometimes the rebound's a 3-pointer.
You're so, and that's exactly, literally, I was like not talking shit, but I was like, this is like just going to be a first date. It's not going to go anywhere. Like he lives in a different state. He's like this cute band guy. This is not going anywhere. 6 months later, engaged.
Yeah. I just think what's funny, like being on the other side of that, you were so hard to get. You played so, even when we started like dating, like, you were like, I don't know. I think I was
apprehensive.
We were both going through some stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah. Like, and it was COVID.
Yeah. It was weird. It was a weird time.
Yeah. You know, I was in it was an emotionally abusive relationship.
Yeah.
I was off any game of being like DMing people or like reach. That had been like 4 years.
Right.
It took her a long time to open up.
Like a long time. Like he was, most people would have been like, this is like not.
I think I was kind of the opposite.
You guys sort of had the opposite situation. Are you kidding me? You are so much like Rhea and I'm like Kelly.
Exactly. I was the opposite. I was the person that was like kind of harder to open up because I had just gotten out of a relationship, not a long-term relationship, but when we first started seeing
like a
each
month
other,
fresh, I think.
I was like, for the first time in my life, I feel like very direct in saying that I don't want to have a relationship.
Yes.
I like you. It's like, I was clear. I was like, I like you.
Yeah.
But I don't want to be in a relationship. Yeah. And I'm sorry if that's like not what you want to hear. Yeah. And I think it was really hard for you to
hear that. I think also like I was 22. Like, right. I think that I took your words in, but I was a little cocky. I was like, I can't believe somebody doesn't like me.
Yeah. Well, a guy saying he's not ready for a relationship to a 22-year-old, what we're hearing is like, oh, that's a challenge.
Yes, I love a challenge.
I thought I was being like a stand-up guy, being like, yo, I probably would just dip, but right now I like respect you enough to say like, I don't want to
pursue this relationship. But I also think at that age, a lot of men have this issue where they say one thing but do another. So in a 22-year-old's head, it gets so messy where you're like, you're telling me that you don't want to be with me, but you're writing me like novels and stuff.
Like I thought I was doing the right thing by being upfront, but then I was told that that's not also not like,
no,
you're not taking no for an answer.
Well, it's hard. It's hard when your actions
don't align.
Like, yeah. Like
we were kind of like playing house. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I was like, oh, I'm here for a month, so like let's hang out every single day. But then like I don't live here, so I'm leaving and like
right.
But I'm such a 0 to 100 kind of person. I like don't do anything really half ass when it comes to love. So I think in my head I was like, oh, we'll just figure it out. Like,
right.
That doesn't matter.
The play makes so much sense in hindsight too. Like when you get to really know someone, like,
yeah,
I love you, but you're such a runner. And like, this is something, like you said, like the actions have to line up. Like I always tell you, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, when the running instincts kick in and it's like, cause you have a difficult time being told things are going to be okay. And I'm like, well, like, you know, I'm still going to be here tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to be here the next day. And you just showing up. It's like over time, like, you know what I mean? You got to like be consistent and show those things that like you're just telling someone, you're just meeting them, and then like prove it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Yeah.
But I remember wearing your house slippers around the house one time, and you were just like,
I
think
that's when I fell in love. I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding.
I felt so comfortable that Ryan, I was like, I'm gonna put this girl's slippers on.
Ryan woke up to get like the door or something, and he put on my slippers, and I was like, oh, I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
This and the is toes silly. Were ripped out of the front of him.
Yes, like, literally. Yes.
Jammed his ogre feet in him.
Yes.
The fact that it wasn't an ick to you is like, oh, I'm.
That's when I knew I was. Yeah.
That's my soulmate. Okay, so here's my thing: is it's like, you know, Gabby's like, oh, I knew from the second. Yeah. And for you, it was like, not that you didn't know, but it was a little bit more of like a slow burn. When was that moment? Like, when was that moment? Less even that you were like, I like her, or even I love her, even I want to date her. But when was that moment when you were like, I don't want to ever be with anyone else?
I mean, I kind of always say this, but I feel like, it was gradual really for us, because like, I knew right away that I liked you. That's the reason why when I was in town for that month, like I wanted to call you after the studio every single day and say, what are you doing? Cause I wanted you to come hang out, or I wanted to hang out with you. But then when I left, I remember I went on like a little trip, and then I came back to LA for whatever
reason.
You went
to like Iceland, right?
Yeah. Well, I went to, I don't know, I was just like on tour or something. And then when I was in Hawaii,
yeah,
and I remember coming home early, kind of a similar situation. Like I like made an excuse to like be in LA a couple of days early for whatever I needed to do. And I asked you to go out to lunch. And at that time it was like, we kind of had some time away from each other, and it felt like maybe things weren't going to be a thing.
Yeah.
And then when we had that lunch, I was just like, yeah, I just was thinking about you the whole time. Like, even though I felt like you were coming on really strong in a way that like usually would like maybe push me away.
I'm an intense person.
You were intense because I think you already knew.
Yeah.
And I wasn't like, I didn't know for sure yet.
You guys had the exact same story. We have the exact same story.
You had to get on. Happened. You had to hop on the Gabby train, dude.
Yeah.
Exactly. Whoop, whoop.
And I had to hop on the Kellen train.
Yeah.
Whoop, whoop.
I have a question for the boys.
Ooh.
Okay. When is the last time you got to say that on the podcast?
Do you, as boys, believe in the term, if he wanted to, he would? Like, is that a real thing?
Absolutely. That's like anything, though.
But, okay, so you know when you're, like, younger as girls, you're like, well, maybe he's busy. Maybe he's, like, you know, focusing on his work and stuff. Does a boy show up regardless of what's going on in his life? You know how sometimes boys are like, yeah, I'm just a little stressed. Like, is that just usually a cop out or?
Yeah, but I think like, yeah, if you want to put work into something, a relationship or whatever, like, yeah, you would put in the work. Whatever that looks like, it might be different.
All right, so I'd say 90% of the time, it's an absolute crock of shit. 10% of the time, it's probably genuine. The reason being, guys or people who date in general are just like in this space now where they don't know how to be like direct and communicate, and they don't want to hurt people's feelings. So then they're like, how do I get out of this or distance myself from this without hurting the person's feelings? And it's like, it's the whole, it's not you, it's me thing. Like, I just like, you know, I get so stressed out. Like
it's an excuse.
My words per minute aren't as fast as they used to be. Like, my Lexapro is not kicking in. Like, I'm not myself. I'm a shell. It's been really nice, like, inviting you over tonight to, like, bang and watch South Park. But, like, I think I'm ready to bang another girl and watch South Park. That's what they're telling you.
Okay. So,
they're full of shit.
Yeah. So when should a girl walk away from that situation?
Immediately.
I think being direct and like having communication, obviously that is like the foundation of, you know, our relationship. Any relationship is really like having that good communication. When you're not in a relationship or when you're like seeing somebody and you're not even sure if you want to be in a relationship, communication is hard. Like, I didn't want to be direct with some of the girls that I felt like I was just having like a fling with.
Yeah.
Because I felt like it was easier to just be like, this isn't anything.
Yeah.
And so when I was saying like, I was as direct as possible with you, when I said, I don't want a relationship, I thought that I was doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And
I will say, to be fair, if I was 29, how I am now, and I heard that, I'd be like, all right, this isn't really good for me. And I think that at 22, I was very insecure with myself, of course. And I stayed and like had a crush on you when maybe I should have just looked inward and been like, why am I chasing this person who like doesn't really see the same kind of future as me? Maybe, you know, I would have walked away and came back had I had more self-confidence. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I also think like there's a lot of times like the excuses are valid, but they just become less important the more like excited you are to be around someone. Like I feel like there are certain guys where I could have the same like 10-hour day on set, and there are certain guys that I dated that like I genuinely did have a 10-hour day on set and I was tired and I like don't want to do anything and I'm exhausted, I just want to go home and shower. And then there are guys like Kellen where it's like I could have that same day on set, but like it doesn't matter. Yes, I'm tired, but like I still want to see you. Like I'm still, same. You know what I mean? Like it's like the excuses aren't, it's not that they're not true, they just like they become less important.
When it's like the right person?
When it's like the right person. Yeah. Yeah. Like there are days, where I was tired and it was such a valid excuse to not see someone, but it didn't like, when you meet the right person, those things just like don't matter. It doesn't matter that I have to be up early the next day. It doesn't matter that I had a 10-hour day. It doesn't matter that like I'm busy. Like you all still of a sudden, none of that matters anymore.
I agree.
Okay. I have a question. Well, I have a question for Ryan, but then, I mean, if you want to answer too, Cal, it's fine.
I get it.
What are your favorite things about Gabby?
Sweet. Lay them on me. And don't say I'm nice.
Okay. Well, I'll touch on that here.
And don't make any of the listeners throw up.
Yeah.
Actually,
make them throw up a little.
I feel like when anybody asks me this question, my like number one answer is always just the fact that she challenges me.
Yeah.
And challenges like everyone in her life to just be a better person or to be open, to be communicative, but to be real. You're a curious person and you have a childlike sense of wonder, I think, still about you, which is like a lame term, but I don't really know how else to say it. Like there's like a piece of you that hasn't been jaded yet.
You always say that.
Yep.
And I just love that because like you're so excited to still do something new for the first time, or I mean, maybe not even new, just anything. You're just excited. You're curious. And it inspires me because I feel like I've seen a lot and I've done a lot. And sometimes I feel like I can get kind of, you know, like crotchety, like old guy, you know, but like when I'm with Gabby, it's just like more fun. And so I love the fact that you are just like so excited and so curious. And, you know, everybody knows that Gabby's like the question girl. So it's really fun because our conversations are never dull. You're always like prodding and asking interesting questions, and that's always like exciting to me. So it's one of my favorite things. But I hate the fact that you don't like when people.
Wait, who said hate?
Listen, the first thing you were like, don't say that.
No,
I'm
no,
nice.
No. I'm saying who asked you what you hate about me?
No, this isn't what I hate about you. I hate the fact that you don't like that people say that you're nice, because I understand.
I think it's a cop out compliment.
It can be like a blanket statement for someone. It can be like a broad term.
The barista's nice. Around.
Sure. But there's something different about someone who is actually like authentically good and like an authentically like kind person. That's a quality that people like because it's not always genuine.
Yeah.
It's not always like a real thing that comes like installed in you as a person.
All right.
And that is something that I think that you have. Like it's a character trait, a quality about you that I actually love, because when people say that, they mean it differently than they are when they say it about the barista. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there's a difference between like when you like hang out with the girl for the first time and you like don't know if you want to be their friend.
Nice.
And you're like, did you have a good time with her? She's nice.
the high
the voice
pitch
goes up, you know?
The nice is more like there's goodness about you.
Yeah. Thank you.
You have a good heart, like, and you're coming from a place of like empathy and like love, and like that's a good thing. So when people say that about you, I think that's what they mean.
Yeah. Gabby asked me one time, she was like, you know, we've like been friends for a decade and like we've had like some pretty big fights, but like why are we still friends? And like my answer was that it's like I've never once actually questioned her character.
Yeah.
Even if it felt like
I wasn't being heard, or we weren't on the same page, or we were communicating poorly, or even if I felt like she did something that was mean or fucked up, it never felt like it came from a bad, ever, ever, ever. Gabby has never done anything where I felt like it came from like a bad, manipulative, selfish place, ever, ever.
I think that's why it's hard for us, like when we do kind of like disagree about something, is because like I don't get mad at you in that sense, because I know that you're not like trying to hurt my feelings.
Yes.
And sometimes I wish that you were, so that I could be like, you're just being an asshole, but like you're just like miscommunicating or something,
you know? Frustrated, like, or you're frustrated. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't know how to do it. Like,
I love my bitches.
She just likes to be gassed up, to be honest.
I've been smiling so big this entire time.
You got big shoes to fill with your answer.
Yeah, Kellen, what's...
Yo, that was a question for me, though.
That was directed at Ryan.
No, I'm asking it to you as well.
Oh, well, oh, in that me? Case... Let me tell you a little thing or two about this lady right here.
Don't call me a lady. I'm 31.
That laugh was just like...
You said...
That was ick. it's going to be hard. No, I'm kidding. Well, my favorite thing about you is your drive and your vision. It's like there's so many people on this decaying earth... with icebergs melting and water levels rising, mm-hmm. that say they're going to do stuff. And they're just like, oh, I want to do this. This is my dream. This is my ambition. This is my whatever. And they just say it. And then they don't do it. Mm. And it's like, I have so many people, not like necessarily close friends, but I've just seen so many people who like, they have no merit to what they say. Like when they say they're going to do something, or like they have their ambition or whatever it is. And you execute and follow through on your like ambitions and your dreams in a way that like, honestly, just like is admirable, but also just like made me like, it was such a good example to me when I like we met, because I was kind of like putting the pieces together, like, you know, from my situation. And yeah. like to see that example of somebody who like, you know, because from the situation you were in when we met to like where you are now, and like you saying I'm gonna do X, Y, and Z, and you've successfully done X, Y, and Z, and like you just like always put your nose to the wheel and like get it done. It's just like, watching you is like just fascinating. I honestly don't even know how you do it. Like, I just don't know anyone who just, I don't know if it's sheer will. I don't know if it's like stubbornness or like this just like refusal to like fail or whatever, but like you just push and persevere and just like game plan and like figure it out and you do it. And you don't like, you're not thinking in your head like, what are my friends going to think if I do this or something like that.
Yeah.
Like,
she doesn't get in her head about it.
Yeah. Just like those like silly things that like, hinder other people from doing things that would like enrich or benefit their life. Like, you're just like, no, I'm gonna do this. And it's not selfish either. You know what I mean? But like, anyways, I just like the way you live like that. And then I also, God, I don't know. There's so many things I could,
I could say,
but I feel like it's a pretty good one.
That no, is that's so inspiring true.
Though. Like it makes you want to be that kind of way too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You have inspired me so much throughout our friendship. And like, it is so true what Kellen's saying. You will say you do something and the next day you have samples. And it's just the craziest thing. I am so envious of your brain and your work ethic. I think that, and also like, not only do you do the things that you want to do, but like you do them well, you know? It would really suck if you were bad at what you do. Yeah. It would be very
and
hard
you'd
for
me.
You
have to lie to me all the time.
But thankfully I don't have to.
Yeah. I love that.
Thank you. Just, you know, it was obviously a whole list of things, but just to like, maybe say things that are a little less like common or conventional. Like, you also just have a very good way of like communicating hard things when they need to be communicated. Like, you would not let me throw my life away or like become a, you know, like you wouldn't just let that happen. You'd say like, you know, like even like, again, like when we met and I was in like the situation I was in, it was just like, look, like I don't like X, Y, and Z. Like, if we're going to be together, like this has to change.
Yeah, I feel like Rhea's like, she's somebody who doesn't let a lot of people into her life, but I feel like once you're in, she will do everything in her power to make sure you succeed.
Like, it's so much better that someone says like, all right, like you can be in this tough spot and like, you know, do nothing or not never get out of it. Or you could be like, look, I really love you, but you got to get your shit together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's so much better than like letting something fester and then resenting someone and like ultimately like a relationship ends because like you didn't communicate.
Yeah.
I would much rather it be like, and in those, in like any case where you've said it, I'm like, dude, you're totally right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, overwhelmed about X, Y, and Z, or like I'm in this bad spot, and like I can't let this just like hinder me for another day. Like, you're totally right. Mm-hmm. And like, thanks. those things are big. So,
because I believe in you guys.
I always think about how lucky we are that they were friends before we met, and how like this little quad has worked out. Because can you imagine if I didn't like your partner or vice versa?
Well, it's so common.
Yeah,
like we were actually with a friend yesterday, and they were talking about how they're having a little bit of a hard time, like, really forming like a real bond with their brother-in-law. Like, they're really close with their sister, and their sister's married, and our friend is like us, you know, they're like a creative, they live in LA, they're a musician, and their sister kind of took the more traditional route, so their sister's husband is sort of, you know, a little, yeah, bit of a square. Sure. And they're like, we just like cannot get there, like, mm-hmm, and I really want to like love him as much as my sister loves him, because I'm super close to my sister, we're only a couple years apart, and I just can't get there. And it's so often that, like, you know, we have so many friends that like we love, and their partners are great for them, and we love their relationship, but like, will we ever be like that close, you know? But the closeness that the four of us have is, it's so, so special.
We just had a sleepover. Are you kidding, yeah, me? I could not have.
We're 30 years old. Like, yeah. We own a house. Like, we're all in like these huge phases, yeah, of our life, yeah, starting businesses, yeah, and we're having sleepovers.
We should give context. We were having our house fumigated.
We had no context. We love each other.
We needed a place to go. We weren't doing weird stuff.
But sleepovers are cute. They were cute.
I was so stressed about the air mattress situation. I'm so glad that it stayed.
I would have been on the floor, and I would have been so happy, honestly.
I have slept in literal rat nests.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Yeah. You guys can sleep. You two can sleep anywhere.
You're right.
All
right.
Enough with the gush.
I was worried about your back, you know, yeah, your lower back.
What back?
Enough with the gush. I have some fire rapid questions for the group.
Okay, let's do it.
All right. Gay son or thought daughter?
Or just be happy to have a son or a daughter. You know what I'm saying?
No, pick one.
The most politically correct answer.
To be honest.
PR trained.
Yeah.
Gay son.
Okay.
It's the same thing.
Gay son.
Like, let's be real.
You have to pick one.
You ever been to a gay club?
Literally, no.
It's a bit thotty.
Dudes are thoughts in nature. And so, like.
Yeah, but which one would you prefer as a.
It's the same thing.
As a child.
Same thing.
Gender, which one do you want?
You have to pick one.
You have to answer.
I'm trying to think.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're fine. I'm just saying, like, they're both sowing their wild oats, having a blast.
But you have to pick one.
I'm trying to, but it's like.
A gay son might learn, like, piano earlier in life or something like that. That might be, like, fun.
A thought daughter wouldn't learn piano.
I don't know. She might be, like, playing with Barbies. Like, it's not enriching, you know.
What the fuck are you talking about?
You know, like.
Probably gay son.
Tickling the ivories.
Yeah, probably gay son.
Okay, my next question for the gang: how does being in a relationship impact personal growth and development? Like, how do you grow within yourself while you're in a relationship? That's a good question.
For me, go ahead.
Oh, I don't know. You just gotta think outside of yourself. You know what I mean? Be more selfless.
And interesting.
So that's like, you gotta learn about sacrifice, and having lots of kids. Sorry, that was a Freudian slip. Sorry.
This man has baby fever.
Man said, fuck personal growth. I want babies.
That's his personal growth.
That's his personal growth.
Compromise, all the things they say.
Yeah, compromise is huge. But no, for real, it's just helped me. I mean, being in a healthy relationship has helped me learn how to communicate better in all aspects of my life, to be honest. You know, I felt like I was like a person who was maybe a little bit nervous to really say how I felt, because I didn't want the result to be something that I didn't necessarily want.
Like rocking the boat?
Yeah. Or just like, I don't know, sometimes you like avoid a certain situation or a conversation in your life because you're like, I kind of think that I already know what's going to happen. And yeah, like, maybe it's better if I steer the ship a different way. But like really just going head on into a conversation and just like taking it as it is, and just trying to be vulnerable and be real.
Yeah,
I think that's like one of the biggest things that I've taken away from being in this relationship.
It teaches you how to prioritize. You know the whole sentiment about like I'm going to choose you. So what you're really doing is just like prioritizing, like mm-hmm. setting boundaries.
Yeah.
And it's like kind of back to your point of like people being like, oh, if he can, he would or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, right. He's just not prioritizing you. He doesn't want to give up things to like, you know.
I think that being in a relationship has really impacted my self-growth because I feel like I met you when I was pretty young, like 22, I'm 29 now. And the growth that somebody goes through in those years
is very pivotal to how I'm going to be when, you know, for the rest of my life. And I think for the first couple years of my 20s, I was really focused on like if you were okay, if you were like, I'm such a people pleaser at heart. So I was so focused with like, if you were doing good, if you were okay, and you were the sun, and I was just going like this, you know? So I think that for me, I had to learn how to find myself through the relationship, and focus on my personal growth throughout that. And it was a really, it didn't come naturally to me. And I'm sure people who have entered relationships younger probably are feeling the same way, but it didn't come naturally to me. So it was a muscle that I had to train, where I was like, oh, I have to really prioritize myself. And Ryan can still be a priority, but I do have to prioritize myself as well.
Yeah. A big thing for me was like, I can tend to be a little bit like, it's hard for me sometimes to empathize, and not in like very serious situations, but like if somebody doesn't react to something the way that I would react, sometimes it's hard for me to be like, why are you acting that way? Like,
yes.
Why is this bothering you so much? Or why are you emotional over this? Or why are you like reacting in a way that like I wouldn't react?
Agreed.
It can be just really hard for me to sort of like, it can be hard for me to put myself in other people's shoes.
Yeah.
And I think Kellen and I are so different in that way. You know, Kellen's really emotional in a way that I am not, or that I am not outwardly. And he kind of lays his cards on the table and things affect him. And I think it's been really helpful for me to kind of like, it's softened me a little in a way where it's like, now instead of being like, ugh, why is this affecting him this way? It's like, oh, that's affecting him that way. Like, what did I do? What could I have done differently in that situation so that it didn't affect him that way?
Yeah.
It's like, it's like forced me to really kind of like put myself in somebody else's shoes and like understand them and like empathize with like the reason that they act that way, like, you know, right. Being more curious about like how they became that person and like what other circumstances have affected them that has made them the person they are today.
That's huge. I take my answer back. I want that one. I fully agree with that.
And also, people are always evolving, you know, throughout our relationship. So it is so important to meet people at where they're at in that relationship. And if something changes, to just kind of question it and to communicate with them throughout that.
Yeah.
Okay. So how do you keep the spark alive after being together for a while?
Oh, that's a good question.
I'll let you start first.
What? 3 years? You think the spark's gone?
No. I don't think that
we got the old ball and chain over
here. It doesn't necessarily have to be a thing where like the spark is dead, but like you do have to, you know, keep choosing that person every day and making them feel loved and flirting, you know?
Yeah, keeping it exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. I think something that Ryan does that I love is we have a whiteboard on the fridge, and every week he like changes out the message for me, and that's like his way of like flirting with me, because we don't really text. We live together, so we don't really need to text. And I think that that's so cute that you do that, because then I'll just look at him and be like, oh, he's flirting.
That's cute.
It just says like, hey, fucker.
It says, hey, porker.
And you're like, it did have a pretty, the bar's it had low. Like a vulgar one the other day. So
you gave me a golden star for being the sexiest wife in the world.
Love that.
I don't know about that. I don't remember that one.
All right. I still haven't even answered this question.
Well, I was going to say my answer. Well, not my answer, but something that I appreciate.
Go for it. It's your podcast.
Something that I appreciate that you do is you still treat like occasions the way that somebody would only do that in the beginning of a relationship. Like, you know, this is our fourth Valentine's Day together, and he's like still asking me to be his Valentine, and like, you know, there's like little notes leading to the bedroom, and you know what I mean?
And then romantic,
like flowers, and it was like Girl Scout season, and he got me like 4 boxes of Thin Mints. You know what I mean? It's like the little
don't dab me up yet.
No, I'm dabbing you up for Thin Mints.
Every one of the boxes had a little boxing glove in it, and they all bonked her in the face.
That's very cute.
It's like he still like puts the same effort in that he always, you know, the way that I feel like I've been in relationships where that was something you do like the first Valentine's Day after you say I love you. And then after that, it's like, sick, like we're together now. I don't have to like that hard.
That stuff matters. I feel like continuing to date your partner.
Yes.
Is so important. Yeah. Especially for the girl. I think that sometimes like, you know, we know that you're attracted to us and that you like care for us. But I think it's so important to remind them that like you're still their crush.
Yeah, completely. Yeah.
Relationships, like, they're going somewhere or they're going nowhere, right? I think without realizing it, we've like tried to grow or like have a destination for like, or like we know where a relationship wants to go versus like a lot of people I don't think knows. And then just like,
yeah, good to have check-ins.
Where's your relationship going? Yeah. It's like stagnant.
That's so true.
You know?
So true, bestie.
It's so true, bestie. I have a sexy answer too.
Let's hear it. Cause that's weird.
That's actually, it's gross.
So we did this really fun thing recently where we were at a, I don't know, we were out somewhere at night. I think maybe it might've been a concert or something. And we pretended we met for the first time and we kept it going for like 5 hours. Like literally like the car ride was like, oh, can I give you like a ride? Like, do you want to maybe like go back to mine and like hang out? Like
that's sexy.
Literally kept it going all the way through. Like, yeah, doing
I'm
it.
I'm also so bad at it.
That's hot.
No,
though.
No, you are so good.
But like she's tried to do this multiple times when I'm just like, I say the thing that's like the point of no return and I'm just like, dude, I don't
know. Yeah, and I'm like, cut scene.
Cut the camera.
I don't know how to like hit on people.
Yeah. Gabby will just prompt me like that, like randomly in the middle of a day. Sometimes she'd be like, so like, what would you say if I was like meeting you for the first time?
I do
like
that
right
all
now.
Time. Yeah.
And
I
would just be like, what up, girl?
You'd be like, no,
he like
say,
makes it a joke.
He just too would be like, cool eyebrows.
No, yeah. Nice ass.
Okay, so you're both dating neurodivergent hotties. How do you guys navigate that? Because I feel like sometimes our anxiety, I can't speak for you, but like if, let's say I have a pile of clothes and it's been sitting there for a week, or like if I'm late to something and I freak out and, you know, like today when my whole schedule is thrown off, I have kind of like a internal battle with myself, or maybe I say something that was meant to be polite, or sorry, I meant to say something that I thought was helpful and it comes out as rude. How do you guys go through these things? Does him being neurodivergent or me being neurodivergent change the way you guys approach the relationship or not really?
Definitely for me.
Yeah. I mean, it's just kind of a learning curve, I guess. Yeah. Like, you know, understanding your partner is like everything, you know, like mm-hmm. knowing that affects you, like knowing that being late or, you know, your schedule being thrown off affects you in the way that it does was something that I had to learn, because I would just be like, why is this such a big deal to you? Because it's like, fine.
Does a pile of clothes bother you?
It definitely doesn't bother me because I know that I have piles of clothes too, but maybe they're just for different reasons. Like mine is just because I'm lazy, but I can also just like snap my fingers and just be like, I'm going to go do this and accomplish this task, which I know is something that's like harder for you to just tell yourself, like, I'm going to go do this.
Yeah. I recently saw this thing that said people with ADHD view time vertically. So we see like a whole to-do list and it's overwhelming. Whereas somebody who doesn't have, or sorry, somebody who's neurotypical will see something and tackle it horizontally. So time is seen in a segment as opposed to us being very vertical where we're like, fuck, we have so much to do and we
it's
can't
like
do
piling
anything.
Up yes. Rather than like something that you can just like tick off.
Yeah, I think for us, it's been a big, like I'd say a communication curve. Like I think in certain ways, Kellen would do something and I either like take it personally or I, you know, take it the wrong way, or I kind of write it off as him like not putting me first or thinking about me or being like lazy. And so I think it's just been a learning curve of like understanding how his brain works and understanding that it's not personal. You know what I mean? Like I think a big thing is like you just said with sometimes his delivery can be like jarring to me. And I used to be like kind of mean back. Like I'd be like, you're being a dick. Mm. And then when he was jarred, it like for me realized like, oh, he like I thought he was like starting it. I thought he was like poking the bear and he had no idea. Like he thought he was saying something helpful. So then it's like, you know what I mean? And then now I was
yes.
Like,
yes, yes, I do.
And so
yes,
now all I of a sudden do. He's upset because he thinks that I'm like being mean for no reason. Like it's out of nowhere. And I think I'm just like retaliating. You
and
know what I
pulling
mean?
Pulling out a gun.
Right. So
it's like looking into a mirror kind right. of right now.
So I think it's been, you know, for me, it's having to like take a step back and be like, hey, by the way, just so you know, the way that you just said that, this is how I'm receiving it. And like 9 out of 10 times he's like, oh my God, like I had no idea, like that's not how yeah. I meant it at all. Like I actually meant it like this. And then that's like, you know, now we've like successfully like diverted a fight. Whereas before he'd be like we'd get in fights and he used to say this one thing and he didn't mean it in that way, but he'd say, what don't you understand about that? And that to me was being, I was receiving that as like,
aggression.
You're a fucking dumbass.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he's really like, that's just his way of like, that's his way of saying,
we're not seeing each other eye to eye.
How can I explain this
How can I explain this better? And so I'd be like, what the fuck did you just say to me? Like, that's so rude. And like now levels are heightened. You know what I mean? Yeah. So like kind of like taking a step back and being like, by the way, just so you know, this is how I'm receiving what you're saying to me right now. And giving him a chance to sort of like explain himself.
I kind of talked to my therapist a little bit about this at one point, and he gave me a good piece of advice. It was just like, you should just start implementing the phrase, I understand, like in your daily life a little bit more.
Yeah.
So that your partner knows like, okay, you heard what she said and you understand what she said in the way that she meant to say it. And so like, you know, when we're having a conversation, I'm like, okay, I understand what you mean, because I don't want there to be any confusion. Sometimes you do say something very like blunt to my face that I feel like maybe you're trying to be helpful or like you want to give me a piece of advice. And I'm just like, man, that was like, the delivery was so wrong.
Yeah.
But I know that you didn't mean it that way.
Yeah.
And
I didn't mean it maliciously. Yeah.
It is really just about like kind of understanding like where that is coming from.
Yeah.
Like what we were talking about.
It's already hard in our brains, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you would always get bummed because I'd like forget to do things.
Yeah, because I
feel like it's not things I did, it's things like I didn't do, but well, like, I had every intention of doing them.
That was the thing. That was me taking it personally. Because instead of like understanding that the forgetfulness was coming from a place of like being overwhelmed or being stressed or just like thinking different distractibility, I was taking it as, oh, I'm not a priority.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And then I would like, that would come out in some ugly way later because I was upset because I felt like he wasn't prioritizing me, versus understanding, I think, just a little bit more about like how your brain works has been helpful for me, like not taking things personally.
You also like really pushed me to like see a psychiatrist.
Yeah.
Which like, you know, I'd never done because psychiatry is like really expensive. Sure enough, I mean, it wasn't like a big surprise. I have like compound ADHD, so it's like OCD, ADHD, I don't know, cocktail.
Yeah.
But the only thing that was helpful about it was then I started getting like taking Vyvanse. And then it was like, I remember we were walking home from breakfast. I remember the first time I took it, it was like, what did I say?
Oh, you were like, the world just got quiet. Is this what your brain feels like all the time?
Wow. That anyways. Must feel so nice.
Yeah. Well, I think that's one thing that's helpful about sort of being in the kind of relationships we are is like, and I feel like Ryan does this for you too. Sometimes it's easier for us to see next steps and then take those next steps and be like, this is affecting you this way, it would be helpful for you to do A, B, and C.
Yeah.
Sometimes you guys can get a little overwhelmed with that, so having us to be like, hey, I put together A, B, and C for you, like here are the things you should do, next steps, you know what I mean? And
our
like
brain's already really loud, that like just having an extra hand. And sometimes I don't know about you, but it's hard for me to ask for help, like sometimes I feel like ashamed of my ADHD, or I did before, and having a partner who is not only there for me but also helpful is life-changing.
Yeah, well, that's the thing that broke my heart about when Kellen and I first started dating. It's like so many of like his peers at the time in his work environment were people who just seemed to be like annoyed or frustrated
because they didn't get it
or because they didn't, frankly, they didn't care to get it. Because it's like, I don't have experience with ADHD, but it was pretty obvious to me. And it was like, instead of just being annoyed and like building up resentment for like maybe some of like the forgetfulness or whatever, it was like, okay, like how do we tackle this together? We're a team. I love you. I want you to be your best self. Like, what do we do? What do we do here? Because I also want your life to be easier. I don't want you to be stressed about forgetting things or getting overwhelmed with to-do lists.
Yeah.
One of my last questions I feel like I wanted to ask is like, I feel like there's this really negative stigma with relationships that like when you find the right person, like I hate when people are like, oh, when you find the right person, you'll know because it's easy. And I think that's really, really dangerous because I don't think relationships are really ever easy. And I think you just kind of know who you want to work hard with. But at the end of the day, when you are like coexisting with somebody who has a completely different personality from you, different brain, like we just talked about, like that is tough, navigating that is tough. So like how have you found ways, I guess, to like fight smarter and to like, I guess, communicate, especially negatively communicate, in a way that's helpful and that doesn't like consistently lead to like bickering and like negativity?
I think that for me, I mean, we've been fighting for 7 years, huh? For me, I was a terrible fighter at the start of our relationship. I just wanted to be right.
Same.
I just wanted to be heard, and I wanted you to always be like, I'm sorry. And as I get older, I see that it's important to hear your perspective as well, obviously. But I think that for me, it's important to have you repeat back what I just said, so that I can tell that you've heard my perspective, and then vice versa. That's my number one tip.
Yeah, I think we can tend to talk over each other sometimes because we both want to say like what needs to be, like what we want to say.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So like there is a point in time when in that conversation where maybe I'm not hearing you because I am just trying to get out what I want to say.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
I also think it's important to decide what fight is worth it. Sometimes I feel like I'll be in a fight and I'll be like, what the fuck am I even saying? Is this worth it? Don't I just want to watch TV with him and take a gummy and like chill instead?
Yeah.
Like sometimes I have to like swallow my own pride and be like, is this worth the fight? Or do I just want to hang out? I don't know. I feel like sometimes it's good to sleep on things as well. We do that a lot. Or we'll be like, sip it. We'll just put a pinch in this. We'll put a pin in this. And then if it matters to us after whatever we're doing, like pretend we're fighting before we see Ray and Kellen, we'll put a pin in this. And if we still care, then we'll cross that. But like, let's not harp on this.
Yeah. And usually it just like is something that doesn't actually matter.
Completely.
Yeah.
I don't feel like we ever really like sleep on it, but I think that we do.
I do.
I feel like we walk away from things sometimes.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you're passionate or emotional about something that you like really want your partner to understand about like what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen if you're like butting heads. Right. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
So like walking away from it and explaining like, yo, like I just need a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I need to like think and I can't right now because I'm so like charged up with whatever emotion it is. Like walking away.
So I don't say anything mean.
Yeah. So I don't say anything mean. So you don't say anything mean because then you're not going to get your point across. But like, I don't think that was something that I really was good at for many years. You know, I think I had to learn that. I think I had to practice it and I'm still practicing that.
You have to fight smart. I think you have to like know your battles and you have to remember that at the end of the day, you're on the same team. And I know that's easier said than done, but I don't know. You just, some fights are worth it. I will say some fights you have to have.
Yeah. And those are the ones that sometimes that you do need to walk away from, because then when you come back a little bit more clear headed, you're both, you both understand like, okay, I was maybe being a little bit of a jerk.
Yeah.
I said a few things that I didn't mean. What is it that we're really actually trying to resolve? What are, like, where do we want to end up?
Yeah. I feel like it's really interesting to see like who we've chosen as partners and how we've, you know, how we've grown with them and how they've challenged us. So
yeah.
I actually think this will be really enlightening, especially for people who are like fresh into relationships or maybe like single and looking for their person.
Or seasoned. I mean, sometimes it's hard to keep that spark or to communicate in certain ways.
Yeah.
I think this is a good episode. Do you guys feel good about it?
I had fun.
Do you think we're the best podcast hosts of all time?
Yeah, I think so.
Thank you so much.
I genuinely am a fan of the podcast. I listen to it. And I'm just happy to be on.
Why don't you tell them to like, comment, and
subscribe, rate.
Give us your best.
Those numbers of yours are already going through the roof.
Give us your best outro.
Give us your best.
So just wanted to say thank you for joining us on this journey, which has been so true, bestie. Please like, subscribe, rate, comment, share with all your friends, family members, anyone that might need relationship advice. Leave us a star on iTunes, Spotify. I cannot tell you how invaluable that is. Rate us. And thanks for having us.
Ideally five stars.
Five stars. Not a star. Not just one. Five.
Exactly what he said.
And now say bye.
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 Oh, and we wrote the theme song.
We wrote the theme song.
They did.
That's true. They did write the theme song.
And we got no love.
No, you do. Here's your love. Thank you so much.
And before you even go on TikTok and talk about your customer service experience, how about you go take a cold bath first? And how about you...